Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Protests in China continue over COVID policy, and the state is cracking down.
These protests we have seen breaking out all over China these past few days are pretty remarkable. Widespread and public outpourings of political grievance have been extremely rare in China.
And another crypto company files for bankruptcy in the shadow of FTX. Plus, how a need for campus housing and a group of nuns became a match made in heaven. Or at least in a convent. It's Monday, November 28th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Markets tumbled today with the Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq all falling around 1.5%. Stocks started the day lower, and the sell-off accelerated after New York Federal Reserve President John Williams said the fight against inflation could stretch into 2024. Meanwhile, investors are getting nervous that protests against Beijing's zero-COVID policy could further impact China's economy, with domino effects on supply chains and consumer demand. We'll talk more about China's protests later in the show. The man who killed 10 people in a racially motivated massacre in Buffalo, New York in May faces mandatory life in prison. Prosecutors say 19-year-old Peyton Gendron pleaded guilty to 15 counts, including first-degree murder and domestic terrorism. Gendron admitted that he shot 13 people in a supermarket in a mostly black neighborhood in May. In a diary, Gendron described himself as a racist and said he wanted to kill as many black people as possible. He's set to be sentenced in February. Domestic terrorism carries a mandatory sentence of life in prison without parole. Regulators in Ireland have slapped Facebook owner Meta with a fine of 265 million euros, or about $276 million, for not better safeguarding users' personal information. It's the third time Ireland fined Meta and its subsidiaries over privacy in the last 15 months, with financial penalties totaling more than $900 million. Today's fine stems from disclosures last year that a hacker had published the personal phone numbers and other data of more than 530 million users. The Journal's tech reporter Sam Schechner says the European Union may be ramping up its regulation of big tech.
We're seeing EU privacy regulators start to really do a lot more aggressive enforcement of this EU privacy law called the GDPR, which has been, in effect, being enforced since 2018, but in the early years, it was slow to get going. At least that's what some privacy activists say. And now there's a pipeline of cases that could have more significant impact on the business practices of companies like Meta and other big tech companies.
A Meta spokesman said the company will review the decision and that unauthorized data scraping is unacceptable and against its rules. BlockFi, a crypto company that lends money to customers using their cryptocurrency assets as collateral, has filed for bankruptcy. The company, based in Jersey City, New Jersey, has said it had significant exposure to FTX. That's the crypto exchange that filed for bankruptcy earlier this month. BlockFi owes close to $1.2 billion to its top 10 creditors alone, according to its filings with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Trenton. Meanwhile, Miami-Dade County in Florida is pushing to end its naming rights agreement with FTX for the arena where the NBA's Miami Heat play. Miami-Dade is asking the judge in the FTX bankruptcy case to end its 19-year, $135 million deal with the crypto exchange so it can find a new sponsor. The county's lawyers say FTX breached the deal by running afoul of laws governing financial exchanges. and Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano has erupted for the first time in nearly 40 years. It began spewing lava and ash on Sunday night. So far, the lava is mostly contained in the summit area, the U.S. Geological Survey says. Still, local authorities have opened shelters, and they're warning people about falling ash. Mauna Loa is the world's biggest active volcano, and it covers most of the Big Island's surface. Authorities closed part of the volcano's summit last month because the area had been jolted by small earthquakes, a sign that an eruption could happen at any moment. Coming up, political protests are rare in China, but the climbing costs of COVID restrictions are driving people to the limit. After the break, we'll talk with the Wall Street Journal's chief China correspondent about the public anger spilling into the streets.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access. Only for WSJ subscribers.
That is the sound of protesters shouting end lockdowns in Chengdu and China's Sichuan province over the weekend. People took to the streets across the country to demonstrate against Beijing's strict COVID rules. Some protesters called for President Xi Jinping to step down. It's the biggest open challenge to the ruling Communist Party in years. Here to explain what it means is Wall Street Journal's chief China correspondent Lingling Wei. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
My colleagues talked this morning on What's News about how COVID restrictions are driving these protests. How rare is a protest like this?
This protest we have seen breaking out all over China this past few days are pretty remarkable. Widespread and public outpourings of political grievance have been extremely rare in China. You know, we have seen demonstrations in the past, right? But they're largely over very small issues like, you know, unpaid wages, land disputes, or air pollution. But a protest of a political nature really is pretty much unheard of in recent years.
What do you know about the feeling now in Chinese cities? And are you seeing any relaxation of zero COVID policy?
Well, that's the thing. That's really why people are so fed up. 3 years on, China still basically has to go through very frequent snap lockdowns to try to even quash minor outbreaks of COVID-19. For example, if there is one person tested positive for COVID in a residential compound, that the whole compound could be locked down. There have been some piecemeal relaxations of very strict controls. For example, the required quarantine time. But overall, the zero COVID policy has been here to stay.
Mr. Xi took power in 2012, and just last month he was named to a third term. What kind of reaction are we seeing from his government to the protests, both out in the street and online?
Right. Online, you know, the Beijing censors being in overdrive to try to delete any posts or messages that are, you know, critical of the government, of Xi Jinping himself, of the leadership. On the streets, we've seen definitely, you know, more police presence, cordoning off a lot of streets and trying to prevent new protests from taking place. So far, they have been trying to, you know, restrain their actions, try not to take too harsh measures, but pretty aggressive police presence for sure.
Several Western journalists have been beat up, is that right?
Yes, we have seen, unfortunately, journalists again have become targets for a lot of those police actions. Definitely the security apparatus is in full motion, trying to clamp down any new unrest. At the same time, a bigger question is, what would the government do in terms of the zero COVID policy? Basically, right now, he has two options. One is to significantly relax the zero COVID policy, but that's not quite a politically available option for him, because, you know, he probably wouldn't want to look as if he was answering to the protests. He doesn't want to lose face. He wants to, you know, keep up the strongman image, right? And the other option is stick to zero COVID. And as we already have seen, it's already been a deeply unpopular policy.
What do analysts think this protest and the zero COVID policy means for Chinese business and the broader economy going forward?
There definitely has been mounting evidence that zero COVID policy is not sustainable because it's very expensive, right? Mass testing requires a lot of investments in those facilities, and you can't keep economy closed forever. China already have seen record high unemployment rates, especially among the young people who either couldn't find jobs out of college or losing jobs because, you know, the private sector really has suffered a lot. So sticking to it could just further the economic pain, the social costs, the public resentment. That's really a key reason why people are so tired of this zero COVID policy and even overcome their fear of crackdown to take to the streets and try to seek change.
That was Lingling Wei, The Wall Street Journal's chief China correspondent. Thank you, Lingling.
Thank you very much.
And finally, many college campuses across the country struggle to find enough affordable housing for students. So when some extra space opened up at Our Lady of Angels Convent, Pennsylvania's Newman University jumped at the opportunity. For the first time since it was founded in 1965, the convent is home to 40 college undergrads, women and men, who have joined the 40 nuns living there. The sisters and students are separated using different entrances and dining halls, but our reporter Melissa Korn says that hasn't stopped the housemates from hanging out and getting into the college spirit.
The students were hosting a party in a big common room in the building, and the sisters were invited, and they were dancing to a DJ together, and there's some very adorable footage of the sisters, you know, boogieing down along with the students. And on the dancing front, there's one student who is corralling a group of students and sisters to do a TikTok dance.
Melissa says one habit that surprised the sisters was late-night food delivery.
There was one sister who was absolutely baffled when a car pulled up in the middle of the night with an Uber Eats order. She just couldn't quite understand that somebody could order food that late at night and there was a service that would deliver it.
And that's What's News for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal.